Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, May 3rd, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're in Chapter 2, There is a Solution, on page 24, beginning with the almost certain consequences, and we're going to read through that one paragraph only. So that's on page 24, paragraph 2. Today's readers are, for our 12 steps, Rocky E. Our 12 traditions are Penny C. And our readers of the text are Kathy G., Julie E. B., and Liat T. D. And let's see, and announcements, our newcomer greeter today will be Leslie M., and our announcements will be with Janice P.M. And the share ID for yesterday's Thursday, May 2nd, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 1254. That's 12,854. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that's for this Friday, which is May 3rd, 2019, is 12,859. That's 12859. OA Preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Rocky E. to read our 12 steps of OA. Rocky? Rocky? Star 1 to unmute, please. Rocky, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Rocky.
Hi. Oh, okay, great. Okay, good morning, all. I'm Rocky E. from New York. Glad to be of service. 12 steps. We admit, number one, we admit we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, and to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Sherry KB, star 1 to unmute.
This is Penny C. Shall I just start the traditions?
Thank you very much, Penny. Go ahead.
Okay, this is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area and happy to be reading the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. And 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Penny.
Thank you so much. Oh, there you are. I was going to step in.
Thank you, Penny. Thank you for your service, and Rocky E. as well. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that also includes your mute button on your phone. Please use star 1. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 24, paragraph 2, beginning with the almost certain consequences, and we're going to be commenting on that paragraph only, that one paragraph. And so will Kathy G. please get us started reading, please.
Thanks so much, Sherry. This is Kathy G., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. The almost certain consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. There is a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. How true. And it's interesting, when I read this, I'm going to kind of flip this because this was absolutely true for me in the past. And I just want to look at this now from the view of the miracle that happens when we do work this step the steps as listed in order, and we are recovered. Because I had an experience last night where I met at an old high school friend's house, and she had a gathering of a bunch of us, and I have not seen these people for years. And everybody brought all kinds of things. And so they were sitting and drinking wine, all of them, and I'm drinking my sparkling water. And my one friend had made these bars that looked like they were just made from the finest chocolate chop you could ever see. And everyone was just raving about these bars. And in the past, because I would have wanted to be such a part of this experience, I really believe that, the thought of what would happen if I took one bite really just wouldn't come in fullness. The consequences certainly would not be there. And I just would have started. And then the whole party would have been about me eating them. How can I get some into my pockets, sneak into the bathroom, eat some more without them seeing me? All of that insanity would have occurred. That's life as a compulsive overeater. Now, because I am now recovered, I was just able to look at them enjoying these things, and it was as if they were eating dust. I don't know, because I know that that's not my food. And so by the grace of God, the fullness of step one, having been restored to sanity and making a decision that I'm giving God any will that I have, it's just miraculous to me. And I would not be on this line talking with you this morning had I picked them up last night. So I am so grateful to be here with you today, happy, joyous, and free on this beautiful sunny day. Oh, thank God. So I'm happy to hear we all have to share today, and thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Kathy G. So Kathy just read page 24, paragraph 2. Beginning with the almost certain consequences. Who would like to share on this paragraph only?
Jackie H.
Jackie H.
Patty T.
Patty T.
Melanie C.
Melanie C.
Sarah B.
Is that Sarah B?
Yes.
Back to Sarah.
Paula D.
Jean.
Paula D. One more.
Jean A.
Did I hear Jean A?
Yes, I'm new to the meeting. Hi, everyone.
Oh, good. Well, glad you're here, Jean. All right. So our lineup is Jackie H, Patty T, Melanie C, Sarah B, Paula D, and Jean A. Okay, Jackie H, please get us started.
Good morning, good morning. Jackie H, recovered in Colorado. What a wonderful way that the speaker put brought us into this morning. I love the positive side of it. And I just want to piggyback on that, because as I was reading it, I was thinking much the same thing, that this was the old me when it came to food. And when I came in here and learned that I had a double whammy, that I had a allergy of the body and a mental obsession, something started to happen, because I put down my alcoholic foods. I went through the steps. What a joyous experience it was. This has been, what a ride for me. And so now with the food down and the food no longer really being an issue, as long as I stay in fit spiritual condition, I get to go deeper, right? And I get to see that my true addiction here, my true addiction is a spiritual malady that says I can play God, I can control life. And this talks about powerlessness here. I have no power to control life. And I got a front row seat in the last couple of days to that very thing, because there was a situation that somehow I thought I could and I should be able to control a situation and the people around it. And I was in this paragraph in my thoughts, not in the food, but in my thoughts and in my, actually my behaviors of wanting to control something. And you know what? I am grateful today that I had that experience. I had to make a couple of amends around that situation. because I did bring harm because I was questioning and trying to control a situation that was none of my business. And so I am so grateful that the food is down, that I have this program, this beautiful program of recovery, and that I can go to this place I went to in the last couple of days and pretty quickly turn it around and see where I just was clutching. I was really trying to play God. And, you know, I say, I resign. I say these big words. I resign as God today. You know what? I have to do it sometimes every moment. There is no one-time third-step prayer for me. It's an ongoing thing. And I have so much gratitude in my heart today that I have a program, that I have a higher power, that I have the wherewithal here to live life and handle life in a way. Yeah, I was pretty upset with myself. I thought I was better than that. Isn't that interesting? I thought I had gone beyond that sort of thing. I'll wrap up now. But I didn't. And because it sneaks up on us. It sneaks up on us and we are human, and I got to be okay with my humanness, do what I needed to do, and move on. And today I'm happy, joyous, and free. Thank you all for being here, and I will pass.
Thank
Have
you,
a happy
Jackie.
Day.
Thank you, Jackie H. And Patty T., you're up, followed by Melanie C. Patty?
Thank you so much, Sherry, for your service. And hello, everybody. I'm Patty T. from Southern California, recovered today by the grace of God. I want to look at this part that phrased the old threadbare idea, you know, that old threadbare idea that food would fix either me or the situation, that food would quell those feelings that were overwhelming to me as that small child who lived in chaos, you know, that's where I would go. That was my go-to. And probably the first thought will always be to go to the food because it's what I learned first. But this program is teaching me day by day by day that the true miracle is that I have a power greater than myself within and around me that can take me above that overwhelm, that sense of overwhelm, and that if I'm willing to try to think in a different way. You know, my first vision sponsor said to me that the formula for how this stuff works is to acknowledge, accept, turn over, and go help somebody else. And yesterday, I was in a state of overwhelm from emotions. I was in fear. I was in expectation, which is a form of anxiety. I was in sadness and grief. I was in all sorts of feelings. And I thought, listen to Harlan, that Harlan special edition. Listen to Harlan, where he talks.
Patty, we lost you. Patty? Star 1 to unmute. Patty?
That's what I did.
There
I processed through my feelings. And today I'm here and happy, joyous, and free as well. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Patty T. And Melanie C., you're up, followed by Sarah B. Melanie?
Hi, thank you so much, Sherry KB. Hello, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Wilsonville, Oregon. I look at this thing and, of course, many items in this big book, and I just say, oh, my gosh, this is so prophetic. And had I had this within me to see around the corner like this or recognize the thinking that I had that this is described here perfectly. It was hazy, it was supplanted, it was threadbare, certain consequences. It was so muddled up by my desperation to make that bite that I was going to take be okay and not suffer from it, that within that ability, compounded over decades of time, I believed myself. I believed that there were no consequences. I believe that there wasn't going to be anything more important than that bite that was going to fix what I was doing, yet I was still going to be able to be whatever I had dreamed I was going to be. I couldn't get together that those things were not possible. This disease had taken me to the cleaners. I didn't get it. I just couldn't get it. And it took what it took in order for me to be where I was at age 50, to find that there might be something that could be done about my obesity. And that's the best that I could get. I had no idea that it was pulled around in my brain. And I want to tell you folks that I couldn't even get that information out of this book. The beauty of meetings like this that I have come to find, rely upon, are the shares that I get every single day, over and over and over and over again. For the 6.5 more, I guess, years that we have been meeting together, that takes depth and weight for me to be able to say, I'm going to try what they're doing. I don't believe it, what they're saying, but I'm going to try what they're doing. And then the results came as a result of doing that kind of behavior over and over and over again. That I guess I wanted to say really that I was talking to a woman yesterday, and the tears in her voice and the rattle in her voice, and I knew that she was in a desperate place. And I was sharing with her these same things that I came to learn after I got sober, when I was no longer drunk. And she wasn't able to get it. And my heart just bleeds in that place, because she is where I was at when I came in these rooms. The prophetic piece of this is, if anyone out there can believe these words right here, right now, and know it's the first bite. It is the first bite, not the thought. It's the decision to take the first bite that is going to get me in trouble. And if I can find some way through fellowship and support not to take that first bite, I will be recovered. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. And Sarah B., you're up, followed by Paula D. Sarah?
Hi, good morning. This is Sarah B. calling from Los Angeles. I am a compulsive overeater and bulimic, and I'm really grateful to be on here this morning and listening to everyone. I've felt so inspired by the shares that I've heard, and I love going back to the early part of the big book, where it really goes into what it was like and the insanity around it. And I underlined the section, we tried to handle ourselves like other people. And for so long, I did that. For so long, I didn't realize that I had a disease. I truly thought other people must act the way I do around food. And when I first got into program, I told my sponsor, I was like, you know, I don't think OA's for me. Yeah, I throw up my food, but it's not every day. And yeah, I'll go all day without eating, but, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And I don't think I have a problem. And it's just to really read this and come to the terms with the fact that this is a disease and that I have it. And, you know, I have to treat it every day. It's not something that's going to magically disappear. And I remember, you know, I've been abstinent for about a year and 6 months. And I remember when I got my first year, I thought, okay, things are going to be great. Like, the food's not going to bother me again, you know, right? Like, I should be cured of this. And I've just had so many experiences that have shown me, like, and reminded me, no, Sarah, this is a disease, and you treat it one day at a time, and you treat it through doing the work. And I had to look recently at some of my compulsive food behaviors with my sponsor, because even though I was abstinent, I was still soothing with the food. And so she had me do writing on identifying those compulsive food behaviors and what my compulsive exercise behaviors were, if there were any, and really getting into the fear around the food. And it was so eye-opening for me to do this work and to look at it. Like, I had thought, oh, I'll be fine. Like, I've got this abstinence thing. And it's like, no, once I get into that like complacency and thinking everything's fine, that's when I'm in the most trouble. And so I'm just grateful for the ability to have awareness and to recognize and reread this as a reminder that, you know, if I get stuck in that place of, oh, I'm okay, I don't need to work it, like, I'll be right back in that insanity. I will be right back there. So, so great. And thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to hearing the rest of you. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Sarah B. And Paula D., you're up, followed by Jean A. Paula? Star one to unmute, please, Paula D.
And thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your guidance. I am now unmuted, hopefully.
Oh, good. Okay, Paula.
Appreciate that.
Thank you
for your service today. More ways than one. You know, as I listened here and I listened to how people, the words are way beyond the words. You know, at the bottom, I'm going to scoot right on down here. There's a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. Until that completes the call failure, there will never be success. And success came in a different form for me. I didn't understand. Success was living serenity, living in peace, whatever state I am in. That's geographically, that's also what is happening in my life. But this part here, there is complete failure. That failure is what brings you to that old, and I'm going to jump up a bit here. If these thoughts occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted. Well, what happens? It clears. Oh, no. This doesn't work anymore. This doesn't work anymore. Old threadbare ideas, they took me out for my birthday, 74, and you know what? I want more. I want more of life. I want more of the life I've been given in recovery. And they sat in front of me. Oh, I was with some beautiful friends, only about a dozen of us, in an Italian restaurant, the Dove. Mind you, the Dove, sign of peace. You see where I was? And they put this, the restaurant was very nice, by the way. They put this lovely, some form of a dessert with the candle. You know what? Never even a thought. They had been replaced. That old threadbare idea had been replaced. I was there to be with, to share with, to give to. And they all shared the dessert, by the way, and they enjoyed it. And did I enjoy their enjoyment? I did. I did. What wasn't for me, but what is for me today, as I sit here and I read and I listen, listen with ears, not in judgment. And if someone says, oh, there I am, a complete failure. Honey, first step, not letting go. Total, complete surrender. Surrender came to me through failure, not success. Am I grateful? Yeah. Every failure that brought me to. I thank you for this time that was given me to share. Blessings to all, and with that I do pass.
Thank you, Paula D. And before we hear from Jean A., I'm just going to remind everybody that we're on page 24, the second paragraph, the almost certain consequences, and we're going to read from that one paragraph only, and I'll take more names after Jean A. shares. Jean? Star one to unmute, please. You there?
Hi, this is, yes. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Jean A. I just want to clarify, since this is my first phone meeting, is there an abstinence requirement for sharing?
No, there isn't, Jean. You're welcome to share. We just ask that you share on topic of what we're reading today, and we'd love to hear from you. Thank you, Jean.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you all being my meeting this morning. I didn't want to just, you know, listen and not introduce myself. So I'm Jean A. I'm calling from Longwood, Florida. And I just got done talking about this same topic with my sponsor this morning. I've been going to meetings for a few months now, but I'm having trouble with what they call step zero, which is the surrender part and just stopping. And I've done it in another program, another 12-step program, but I remember thinking, well, if I could stop, what would I need the program for? But it's in the stopping that I guess I have the sanity to work the steps, or not maybe the sanity, but maybe a little bit of clarity. And so this last line, there is a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove, is essentially exactly what I've been experiencing this week. I started a new job, and I seem to have a lot of trouble at work. But you have given me a lot of hope hearing how, you know, the thoughts don't even occur anymore, and that, you know, you didn't even think about eating this dessert that's put right in front of you. I struggle with, you know, the foods that make me ill. Not specifically obesity, but just digestive issues are my problem, and what drove me to seek out this fellowship. Because I tried for years and years to stop on my own. And it is definitely, you know, those thoughts, those threadbare ideas, and the failure of the defense that I'm experiencing now. So I'm grateful. I hope I can join you other times. I don't know with my new job what my schedule will be and whether it will allow me to keep getting on, but I hope it will. And thank you for being there. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Dina, and welcome to the line, and we hope you stay afterwards and give your name and phone number, and to hear some wonderful things about A Vision for You, our big book study here. Thank you, Dina, and welcome.
Thank you.
So now, thank you. And so now, just want to remind everybody, we're on page 24, paragraph 2. Who would like to share?
Michelle.
Yes, that's Mark.
Judy.
Julie Lundo.
Julie E.B.
Okay, so I
Julie
heard Michelle, and then I
yep.
heard Julie E.B.
Judy Lundo.
Okay, somebody's coming in like all at the same time. Did I hear Roz G. in there?
Tommy
Becca
R.
T.
Sorry, something R. Sorry, hold on just a minute, please. Who was that R?
Becca.
Becca? Okay.
Uh-huh.
I think I heard Becca R. Okay, please go ahead, everybody. Okay, one at a time, please.
Penny C.
Jaina M.
Penny C. Got Penny C. Okay.
Karen W. Connie T.
Did I hear a Sarah W? I heard a Connie T. And I can take one more.
Judy Lundell.
L.
Okay, I heard something. Was that Katie L?
Judy L.
L.
Kitty, K-I-T-T-Y-L?
No, Judy.
Oh, Judy. Sorry about that, Judy. All right, so I have L. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Judy L. So I have Michelle. Could you please give us the initial of your last name, Julie E.B., Becca R., Penny C., Connie T., and Judy L. Michelle? Star one to unmute, please. Michelle, you there?
Yes, I am here. I had to remute. Okay, and unmute. I am Michelle J. from Arkansas.
Oh, please go ahead and share with us, Michelle J.
Oh, okay, great. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. And this, I can tell, is a hot topic. But this is fantastic. This is right where I am today. I've been with you guys for about six months, and loving it. And, you know, this week I was working on step 8 and working with amends to my husband, and my emotional level, something broke inside, and I went somewhere that I've not been in a very long time, and all of a sudden I looked up and saw something, and I went, oh my, I haven't had that in 7 months, and and I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop this pain. I have to stop this pain. And I went and I put it in my mouth and I ate it. I went, uh-oh. After 7 months, I went, uh-oh. And it was failure, just like another speaker had said. But, you know, guys, it wasn't. It was success because I then went to something else. And I went, oh, this is going to stop the pain. No, that didn't either. Well, I remembered what all of you have shared with me, the tools. Vision was my first tool. Listen to it, and I did. I texted my sponsor. She responded. I called someone in my God squad, and God gave that person the correct thing to say to me, to help me, because within 24 hours, those cravings were way off the scale, uncontrollable, and horrific, and I was devastated. But they said, the pain will pass. It will pass. Just, you know, you're doing the right thing. And then I reached out to another individual who I knew was suffering. I was using all the tools of the program. And it worked. And I just want to say, I'm not perfect, but that's okay. I'm still in the program. I'm still working it. And praise God, the obsession went away from me. But thank you so very much for being here, all of you, and God bless you all. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle J. And Julie E.B., you're up, followed by Becca R. Julie?
Hi, Julie E.B. This is Julie E.B., looking for a quiet spot, gratefully recovered by God's grace. Just moving through security line at the airport with my entirely absent food and letting them know it's medical and moving through and just feel good about being able to bring my own food. Although it was challenging for me to ask for what I need. But the certain consequences for me of just moving a little bit outside my plan. Today, I think about that, and the reason I can think about that is not because I can handle myself like other people. I've come to realize I can't handle myself like other people. I'm trying to handle myself and get through things, as I kind of shared earlier this week. That's the kind of defense. I can do this. I. Well, we have a WE program, and there's so many people here that want to help you put down the food. There's a failure. I can handle myself like other people. I couldn't handle myself, not my thoughts, not my emotions, not my fears, not my resentments, not the time I spent spinning in my head. And so there is no defense of just saying I can do this one more time. The defense I have today is the care and protection of a higher power who just sets up that barrier around me. And it was through putting down the food and becoming increasingly willing to look at my absent ingredients, foods, and behaviors as I move through this book that has really given me freedom. I always want to put my hand on that hot stove and say I can handle it. But today, even with the emotions, even with the feelings, I have to acknowledge as they're building up, I don't have to keep this pain inside. I can do a 10-step. I can call a fellow if I'm trying to stay out of the food and I'm not through to that step yet, and I can get relief. I don't need to. Why would one live with their hand on a stove? Only my thinking. I can handle it. I can handle myself. No, my higher power has done for me what I could not do for myself. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Julie E.B. And Becca R., you're up, followed by Penny C. Becca? Becca, star one to unmute, please.
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater today in Kentucky. And I'm grateful to be on the line and to be able to share. I just got back from a trip, and I have kind of hit the ground running. I was in Hawaii, so the time difference was really a challenge for connecting with people, but we did get to several meetings while we were on the island. And so just wanting to connect and claim my seat. And when I was reading the paragraph this morning, it made me think of this instance while we were in Hawaii, the almost certain consequences that following even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted. And that was my experience this weekend, or the weekend before coming back home. You know, we were in Hawaii, and my friends wanted to have Hawaiian shaved ice. And, you know, just for a fleeting thought, I considered it. And then, just like other shares have said, you know, I play that tape through, and I didn't want to miss it. I didn't want to be in the food and thinking about what the next bite's going to be, how am I going to get the next bit of this or the next shaved ice, and I would be off and running. And I'm so, so grateful to stay abstinent on these trips. You know, when I first came in, I thought, I'm never going to be able to go out to eat again. I'm never going to be able to travel. I'm never going to be able to, why. And what I've found, and it has come from the fellowship, is hearing your old experiences and hearing people who have traveled intercontinentally and have gone to other countries and other places with different cuisines and different available food, and they have stayed abstinent. And it has given me so much hope. And talking with my sponsor this morning, she was like, you know, you could have found people who were on your time zone. And I was like, ah, imagine that. There could have been people on my time zone, or I could have called my friends in Europe who, you know, my evenings were available. And so in Europe, they would probably have morning availability. So, always learning, ever evolving, and just grateful to be doing this side by side with you guys. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Becca R. And Penny C., you're up, followed by Connie T. Penny?
Good morning. Thank you, moderator, and thank you, everybody on the line. My name is Penny C. I'm recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. I'm looking at the word defense, and, you know, it's telling me in this paragraph that there is a complete failure of the kind of defense that we need, and that's my words, that we need. And the previous paragraph ends with, in italics, we are without defense against the first drink. For me, against the first compulsive bite. And, you know, of course I was out without defense. Just like if I were playing in a basketball game and they told me this is a basketball game, but they never told me, you know, how to play, what the goal of the game was, that I was to put the ball in the basket, my basket, not the others. And I never practiced. Well, of course there'd be no success. And what, for me, to make the analogy with my compulsive overeating, is no one ever told me it was a disease. I didn't know what I was dealing with. And nobody ever told me that the solution was spiritual. That was part of the way to be successful, was to get spiritual. But once I went to my very first meeting, and God bless those people, especially the woman who practically yelled out, this disease of mine, you know, she was really, really getting emotional about it. And it just hit me. Now I can have, I've got a disease. And that's when I started looking into what is the defense against this disease, this horrible disease that had me imprisoned. You know, it was just the best thing I think I could have ever heard when it came to recovery, was that I had a disease. And then very quickly, after just a few meetings, I got the message that it was all about a spiritual connection with my higher power. And now that those two things have been taught to me, and now that I practice these steps, the best way I know to do it is what we're doing right now. Just go through this big book over and over again. Listen to this kind of, you know, this meeting. Go to face-to-face big book meetings and just keep learning and mostly to have that experience of a connection with the higher power that will keep us sane and abstinent and healthy. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C. And now we'll hear from Connie T., followed by Judy L. Connie?
Good morning, everyone. This is Connie T., recovered compulsive overeater from South Central Pennsylvania. And I just, I felt so compelled to speak on this. You know, the forgetter, it's just amazing. When I'm 57 right now, but when I was 16, I started drinking at my sister's house. She had a sweet 16 birthday party for me, and we got snowed in. And so I started drinking, and I remember getting drunk, and I remember the feeling of getting drunk, and I hated it. I was laughing at things that were not funny. I just thought, this is stupid. And then I got sick, and as I'm throwing up over the toilet, just so sick, I thought in my head, even though I was drunk, you will never do this again. This is the dumbest thing you have ever done in your life. And you know what? I never did. Never picked up another drink after that. But you know what? When it came to the food, I would eat foods that I knew were causing me physical pain, headaches, migraines that were excruciating. I would sleep at night with my head wrapped in frozen vegetables just to freeze my head to try to deal with the pain. And I remember telling myself, you will not do that again. You will not eat that again. And 3 days later, after the headache went away, I would be eating it again. And I did this for decades, decades. And I just had no defense against it, none. I mean, no matter how bad the pain was, I had nothing. And, you know, when I discovered OA, or I should say God brought me into OA, which was about 5 years ago, and I heard that I had a disease and it wasn't willpower, I felt such relief. Like, oh my gosh, that explains all this insanity. Oh my God, there is a solution. And, you know, over the last 5 years, it's been a journey. And my experience has been, you know, I had to put down all my alcoholic foods 100% completely, and then work the steps. I tried it the other way. It didn't work for me. I had to do it. I worked the steps. And now it is just amazing. I have such neutrality around food. I'm living life. I'm not getting the headaches. I still get them occasionally, but now I know it's not related to the food. Now I know it's the weather or something else like that. And I'm just so, so thankful for this meeting, which has just been tremendous in my recovery, and for, you know, different sponsors that I've had. And I'm just so, so grateful. So if there's anybody out there right now that's just suffering, or you're still in it, or you just can't figure out why you can get out, you can do it. I mean, if I can do it, you can do it. So I just want to encourage you. And I really thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Connie T. And Judy L., you're up. Judy L., star one to unmute, please. Judy?
Hi, this is Judy L. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Go ahead, please.
Okay, great. Well, I'm Judy L., and I'm recovering from decades long of binging and purging and overeating and restriction. And I'm very grateful for this meeting and for the shares and for the reading. It came at a really good time for me because I'm about 73 days into my abstinence, and so it's fairly early on. But I started talking to my therapist about how I'm becoming very confident that, you know, I'm getting away from those feelings of wanting to engage in eating disorder behaviors, and it's just sort of a confidence that's starting to build. And she reminded me that I'm never going to be that at any time, at any point, at any time in my life, even though I may be in recovery for long periods of time, it will always be a threat to me, and that it's going to be lifelong. And I really needed to be reminded of that, and then reminded of that again in this reading, that through the recovery process that I was becoming too confident, and that has been something that has actually been detrimental in the past and has led to relapse. And I'm so grateful to have these readings, to have a reminder, to have the people to support this, to have the therapy behind it, because my goal is for a lifelong abstinence from the behaviors and from the food after having four decades of a very, very severe eating disorder. It's been a miracle that I've been able to be free of the disease and, in terms of doing what I need to be doing and doing the 12 steps. And I'm about ready to go into the fourth step, and I have a lot of anxiety around that. But by reaching out and talking to people and doing that tool of reaching out, I'm reminded that I can surrender that to God, and everything is about surrendering it to a higher power, and for me that is God. And to be constantly reminded, I'm so grateful that my higher power is not just God, but it is all of you and the shares and the service and the meetings and just doing the work so that I can have a life free and joyous and just a real gift and a real miracle of recovery or abstinence. So thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Judy L. Well, that's all the time we have today. What a wonderful meeting we shared with all of us. Thank you so much for all that shared and all who wanted to share. And I'd like to thank Team Friday for their service. We had Rocky E. on the 12 Steps, Penny C. on the 12 Traditions, Reader of Our Text was Kathy G., reading page 164 is Julie E.B., and our backup was Liat T.D., and we have our newcomer greeter is Leslie M., and our announcements will be Janice P.M. All right, so we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our Big Book is meant to be suggestive only and ends with "and keep you until then." Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understood God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us if you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you